glad he makes all things new this morning. Amen. He's the God of the new. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. First Sunday in 2019. How many of y'all excited about 2019, what God is going to do? He's making all things new. Just want to thank the worship team and all of the worship team for getting our minds right this morning. Y'all made it hard for me because I just wanted to stay right there for a little while. Amen. He's a good God. Amen. And he is worthy of our praise and our worship and our adoration. And I know sometimes in my own quiet time and in my devotional life, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get to the time and you're ready to kind of get to the reading of the word and hear what God has me to do for the day. But in doing devotions with the kids this morning, we were doing something called God's Story, and it was talking about the different types of prayer. And the last type of prayer was, he talked about yielding, stop and listen. And sometimes what God is trying to tell us and tell me at home and tell us actually when we come here corporately, just to stop and listen. You know, I know I'm ready to give a word sometimes and preach a word, but sometimes we just need to stay in a place so we can kind of see his glory and get a sense of his majesty and how awesome of a God we serve. Amen? Amen. So I just want to say, if we could just come back, I want to sing one more of those songs again. We can sing He Makes All Things New. What I want you to focus on, I want us to say that together, that thank God that you are a new creature in Christ. How many of you are glad that he made you a new creature? The Bible says if any man is a new in Christ, he's a new creature. Thank God that in 2019, he can make your marriage new. In 2019, he can make your finances new. In 2019, he can make your attitude new. Amen. How many believe that he is able to transform where you are right now to where he wants you to be by the end of 2019? Amen. And I want you, there's somebody here under the sound of my voice who's a little skeptical right now. But where you are right now, you don't even see how God's going to change it. But I want you in faith to declare, God, you make all things new, even though I'm not new right now. Even though my stuff is not changed right now and I don't see how you're going to fix it, I declare, listen, I'm taking you at your word that you are the God of the new. Amen? Can we stand and sing that together one more? Just say that. Say, you make all things new. Say, you. Come on now. Make all things new. Declare it for yourself. Hallelujah. Make all things new. Come on, I will. Focus on it right now. Come on. You make all things new, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. And I will follow you. One more time. One more time. You're going to follow him even though you can't see. Say, you. Hallelujah. Woo. God who makes things new. God, Heavenly Father, I come asking on behalf of my brothers and sisters and myself, God, we thank you for a new year. New year means new opportunity, God. New opportunity for us to get in line with what you're doing in the world. New opportunity for you to display your glory in our life. New opportunity for us to be light, salt, and light in this world. And God, as we come this morning, this first Sunday of 2019, Lord, I got some stuff that I'd like you to make new. And I know I'm not by myself today. And God, to be honest, there's some stuff that needs to be made new that, Lord God, I've been wanting it to be made new for a while. And some things ain't changed all the way like I want them to be. But Lord God, I come in faith to know that you're able to change what seems unchangeable. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, for newness in somebody's marriage in 2019. I pray for newness in family relationships. I pray for newness in someone's career. God, I pray for newness, Lord God, in our attitude, in our mindset. I pray for newness, Lord God, in our growth, in our relationship with you, in our walk with you. I pray, God, that we'll be made new in our witness for you in 2019. I praise you now, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are doing a new thing, and it is springing forth. That, Lord God, you will make, Lord God, a way out of in the wasteland for us. And, Lord God, the song says you make all things new. Then it gives an act of obedience. Then we will follow you. Lord God, help us to follow you even when it's hard, even when we don't see the way, to trust you and take you at your word. Now speak to our hearts today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give our God a round of applause this morning? We serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm excited about 2019 and what God is going to do here at the Washington Christian Center. What God's going to do in my life and your life for the next year. I don't know if you remember last year on our first Sunday of 2018, we dubbed it Vision Sunday. And what we did, we cast forth vision and we shared what we thought, how God was leading us for the year to come and then into the years to come over the next 5 years. And I handed out a vision for you. And this Sunday is sort of like Vision Sunday. I thought the first Sunday of the new year, we ought to look and see what God's plan is for the church and where we want to go. And I thought about calling it Vision Sunday again. I thought about doing that and laying out our vision. I know leadership, we've kind of gone away, and we've talked about our mission, our vision and values, our core values. And we've talked about some of those. And I thought that would be a good time to roll some of those things out. But on Wednesday night, we're going to be doing that here at the church. But the Lord just kind of convicted of me and said, listen, before you roll out your plan, why don't you talk about what the master plan is? And as I looked at it, and I said, listen, God's plan for this church and for the church at large, do you know all of us individually are the church? And corporately, we make a church. And I said, before we can plan. The Bible says it's many of the plans that man makes, but it is the Lord who directs his steps. And God took my attention to the book of John. If you want to turn with me in the book of John, chapter 17. And it's in John 17, it's Jesus' high priestly prayer. And in that passage, he gives a prayer for the church. And I said, what more fitting way to start off the year and to talk about what is God's plan? What is Christ's plan for our church? Amen? What is Christ's plan for the church? And as we look at that, the message title, the series title, we're getting ready to start a series called We Are the Church. And what we're going to do over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about the purposes of the church, why the church exists, what the church is for. Many of you know that we as the Washington Christian Center, we have different teams, different ministry teams, and every team represents a different purpose of the church. And so you have clarity on what the purpose of the church is, why we exist as a local church and as far as his body. I think it's important that we teach through those areas. So this month, we're going to be teaching through the purposes of the church. Before we start there, let's look at, we're going to title this message, The Master Plan. The Master Plan. I wanted to have that song playing. Now, some of y'all don't know. It's like Thinking of a Master Plan. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that song I'm talking about? Some of you do. Eric B. and Rakim, if you don't know who that is. Man, I wanted to have that loop because that's it. God just gave me the master's plan. And we want to talk about what the master's plan is for the Washington Christian Center. In fact, what the master's plan for the Washington Christian Center is his plan for the church, the global church. Amen? So as we go there and look at it in John chapter 17. If you can look in John chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 9 till about verse 24 or 25. Amen? It says, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have come, I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. There was a theologian by the name of Paul Tillich, and he once said this. This is a quote from Paul Tillich. It says, "The church is potentially a powerful body with a necessary arsenal at its disposal to change the moral character of the world. The fact that it is not doing so causes us to be painfully aware that its potential is not being realized. That which is possible is not being produced. For while possessing the dynamite of the gospel, the church has lost the detonator. As a result of this inaction, the church that the world sees is weak, timid, divided, and crawling instead of flying. While it has material resources to convert the world, it is restricted by its stinginess and narrowness of vision." That's powerful. That's powerful, and that's a heavy indictment on us. Amen? The brother says, listen, we've got all that we need to convert the world, but we are not, it's like we're dynamite. He says, we're like the dynamite without the detonator. And as I thought about that, we talk about there's churches everywhere. In this county, I don't know how many churches there are in this county. I had to do an assignment for seminary, and I told some of you this a while back, that my professor asked me to make a map of all the churches within a certain mile radius. I think it was less than 5 mile radius of our church. And I just couldn't do it. It was just too many churches. I mean, the map, it was churches, there are churches everywhere, but what's happening is there are churches everywhere, and there are Christians, so-called Christians everywhere, but there's no change. We're dynamite without the detonator. And this morning, as I read in John chapter 17, that is Jesus' high priestly prayer. He's praying for his followers, for his disciples, and I love it in the passage. He says, I'm not only praying for these who are here, but for those who will believe because of the message. Who was he talking about? He was looking at you and I. Those of us who name the name of Christ, who are Christ followers today. He said, listen, I'm praying for them, God. I'm praying for their protection. I'm praying that they will be on mission. And listen, the Bible said, he said that he will build his church. And the question is today, if he said he'll build the church, why is the church declining? If we've got every resource, he says, to convert the world, why are things getting worse? We know that the world will get worse, but why aren't more people coming to the kingdom? And the church is like dynamite without the detonator. And I believe one of the detonator, listen, one thing that we don't resource, that we don't utilize is, guess what? What the master is doing here today is prayer. We don't pray for the church like we should. Listen, if we want all this stuff that we say we want planned and we want to happen, listen, we ought to be fervently praying, asking God to do great and mighty things. We got to get on our knees, church, and believe and be praying in faith, looking for God to do the supernatural. And if we talk about plans for the church, all the plans for the church ought to start in our prayer for the church. And what do we pray for? This morning, I believe Jesus has given us a roadmap on how we ought to pray for the church, what we want to, what he wants to see happen for the church. Can we look at a passage, John 17? There's a couple of things. There's five things that I want to look at as we see how Jesus prayed for the church. Let this be our prayer for the church. Let this be our mission. Let this, let us follow the master's plan. Number one, Jesus prayed, number one, that we would sense the glory of God. That we would sense the glory of God. Let's look at the end. I'm going to look toward the end of the passage. I'm going to start at the end of the passage. He says on in verse 24 of John 17, he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You see what God, what Jesus is asking? Listen, what Jesus prayed that we would sense the glory of God. He wanted us to but sense his glory, that we would see his glory. What was he asking? Number one, this is even before he got to the cross. Before he got to the cross, he said, Lord, I want them to be with me. I want to see them to see my glory. Yes, he wants us to see. What does he want us to look for? He wants us to be heavenly minded. He wants us as a church to have an eternal mindset. Listen, we ought to, since we've been risen with Christ, set your thoughts, set your hearts on things above. We ought to be able to see, listen, we ought to have a mindset and anticipate. How many of us as Christians are anticipating heaven? Anticipate, looking forward. And listen, if we were looking forward to heaven, we wouldn't be holding on so tightly to things on earth. I'm convicted by that because, you know, my choices of how I use my resources, how I use my finances, how I use my time ought to be reflection that I have seen, that I have gotten a glimpse of his glory. What Jesus wants is here. He prays that they will have a sense of his glory. That's on two fronts. He wants us to get a sense of his glory to be anticipating heaven. But one way you get a sense of his glory, you know how you get a sense of his glory? If you look in 2 Chronicles, if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles. If you have your Bible or your phone, you can use the Bible app or whatever. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. He wants us to get a sense of his glory. Verse 13 and 14 of 2 Chronicles 5. I love it. It says, the trumpeters and musicians join in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good. His love endures forever. Then it says, the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Do you see what happened? Listen, what his prayer is, that he's in his high priestly prayer, Lord, he said, listen, I want them to be with me that where I am. That's already settled. Do you know we are already seated with him in heavenly places? See, he wants us to get a sense of that. He wants you to get a handle on that, that this light affliction is but for a moment, and it's working in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's settled. You got to go through stuff, but when you sense glory, you can be like Stephen. See, Stephen, when he was facing those people who were getting ready to assassinate, to kill him, to stone him, he saw the glory of God. And even facing those stoning him, listen, his face said he started to glow. His countenance changed because he could see his glory in the midst of the suffering. But what happened here in 2 Chronicles is, you know how you, guess what? You can every day get a sense of that glory. You know how you do it? Worship him. Begin to praise him. Jesus has said, let his prayers, Father, give them a sense of my glory. Here in 2 Chronicles, what happened is, that the musicians came and the singers came and they began to lift up the name of God. They began to exalt him because he is good and his love endures forever. And as the praises went up, his glory came down. They got such, it said a cloud filled it, the glory of the Lord filled it so that the priests couldn't even do their work. They couldn't even perform their priestly duties because the glory of God. And our prayer ought to be, my prayer for this church, God, give us a sense of your glory. Give us a sense of your majesty. God, let us not be so familiar. Yes, I am a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God, but he's still holy. Give me a sense of that majesty and that glory, that you sit high and look low. That you sit enthroned above the circle of the earth, that you, listen, and that one day that we will live in your presence, that our God sits in inapproachable light. God, give us a sense of your glory. And do you know what, and I'm starting with that in verse, because listen, if you don't have a sense of his glory, if you don't have a sense of his majesty, if you don't have a sense of there's a place that is greater than this right here, all the other things you ain't going to do. We don't even need to waste time to get into the request number two, because if it starts with you getting a sense of his glory, my question to you, do you spend time just worshiping in his presence? Do you spend time just getting still, stopping and listening? God gave me this song when I was working on this point. This song was on my heart. That says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just say that. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. That's a sense of his glory. Just say that. I want to see you, God. A couple of times. Just say, open the eyes of my heart. God, give us a sense of your glory. Open the eyes. Come on, that's got to be our prayer, church. I want to see you, Lord. This was Isaiah chapter 6. I want to see you. This is how Isaiah saw him. Say, high and lifted up. See you, high and lifted up. Come on, shining in the light of your glory.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, pour out your power, God.
Pour out your power.
As we sing holy.
As we sing holy, holy.
Come on, to see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, God.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love.
Pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, holy,
holy. Holy, holy, holy. Say holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy.
So before we can ask God, God, grow our church, God, meet needs, God, do this, God, give us a sense of your glory. Because all of that other stuff flows out of worship. Many of you have heard me say it many times that my prayer, my vision for us is that we encounter God's presence. Encountering God's presence, begin to see him. That's what he wants right there. That's what he said, that they will see me, that they will get a sense of my glory. That song that we just sang was just Isaiah chapter 6. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. When is the last time you saw the Lord? This morning, my son, the youngest, Andrew, I know, I told Tracy, man, I'm forgetting people's name, Andrew. I was singing that song in the car. I was playing that song and singing that song in the car. And then he getting out the back, I've never seen God. I've never seen God. Because I was saying, Lord, I want to see you. And Andrew's like, I've never seen God. I've never seen God. And I said, you know what, Andrew, none of us have seen him face to face. Not yet. Then DJ said, well, some of us have. He said, my Uncle Milt has seen him. There's some people who have seen him. And I said, what God wants to do is praise him so we get a sense of his glory. What the high priestly prayer, what he wants us to do, give us a sense. We ought to pray this. Won't you make this your prayer for the Washington Christian Center? Make the prayer for your life. If we make this prayer for our lives individually, guess what? It'll affect all of us together. If for 2019 you say, God, give me a sense of your glory. On a regular basis, give me a sense of your glory. Number one, that's number one. Number two, what he asks, he wants us to not only get a sense of the glory, but next thing is to follow the word of God. Give us a sense of the glory of God. But set number two is follow the word of God. Some of you may be familiar with G.K. Chesterton. He's an author, and several other literary figures were asked this one question one evening. And the question was this. They asked him and some other guys, what book would they prefer to have with them if they were stranded on a desert island? What book would they prefer to have? And one of the writers said, listen, without hesitation, he said, I would have the complete works of Shakespeare. The other author said, listen, I would have the Bible, the scriptures, no question. Then they turned to Chesterton and he said, how about you? And he said, I would choose Thomas's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding. Thomas's Guide to Practical Shipbuilding. Listen, if I'm stranded on a desert island, I want to know how to build a ship to get off of it. The Bible was a good answer, but he's saying, I just don't want to stay here. So for 2019, we need to ask God, give us a sense of the glory of God, but also, God, help us to follow the word of God. Because his word is like that. It's an instruction. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's an instruction book. What did he ask right here? If you look at in John chapter 17, verse 8, he says, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. He said, listen, what I want them to do is follow my word. The words you gave me, not only that, he is what? He is the living word. If you look at John 17:17, a scripture says, sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. We ought to ask God to not just show us his glory, but help us to follow his word. The word to sanctify there means to be set apart. God wants you to set us apart, he says, sanctify them. That is his prayer for you and I, that God, you will set them apart by your truth. And your truth is found in the word. The only way we can live a set apart life is by following the word of God. And you see why I said the sense of his glory is so important, because if you don't believe he is who he says he is, then his word is not that big of a deal. It's just like some people believe this is just the words of some man. But when you get a sense of his glory and his majesty and who that he is, who he says he is, then I want to hear what he says. Then I'll follow the word. That's why if you don't worship him, you won't follow the word. We need to pray and ask God, God, help us to follow your truth. Man, his truth, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, said his word, the word is full of living power. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. My prayer for us as a church in 2019 is that we don't just talk about the word, that we follow the word. That we live what we say we believe. We talked about the church being like dynamite without the detonator. We've got all of this. Do you know, man, that people all around us and church, we don't look any different than the world does. We do the same. We find our entertainment in the same stuff. Our social media, our Instagram page looks just like theirs. My Facebook page looks just like theirs. My Twitter timeline doesn't sound any different than theirs. But he said, listen, but we're supposed to have truth. If I've got truth, I got, but God is asking, Lord, I want them not just to be hearers, but I want them to be doers of your word. Follow the word of God. 2019, we talked about it. We talked about last week what we want in 20, what God, we wanted God to work on us, what change we wanted God to transform, we wanted him to make new, and what revolution we wanted to occur. And one thing we got to do, church, we got to be a people of the book. No compromise. And listen, it ain't easy following the book. Because when you follow the book, you're going to go against the world's philosophy. You know, the more and more I see it, it's just getting crazier and crazier. We are calling good evil and evil good. We are trying to redefine what gender means. We're trying to redefine a whole lot of stuff. And guess what? We're in a season now when you from the pulpit start saying stuff, you risk yourself getting in trouble. I know I'm right. And listen, now we as a church, many of you know, some of you don't, that we're live right now. Somebody somewhere in the world can watch us on the internet. Do you know that it was a time when pastor didn't have to think about what you're going to say. Listen, they could come get you for some of the stuff that you're saying. But the thing about it is, what God wants us to do, God, give us the wisdom to know what's right, his word. And then give me the courage to do what's right, even when it's hard. 2019, what God's prayer, what Christ's prayer for his church, what his master plan for the church is that we get a sense of the glory of God. Number two, that we follow the word of God. But number three, what he wants for us is to be united in the love of God. Let's look at the text, John 17, verse 21 and 23. It says that all of them may be what? One. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What does he want? He wants us to get a sense of the glory of God. He wants us to follow the word of God. He wants us to be united in the love of God. Church, we ought to be what? One. Even as he and the Father are one. Do you know what a big deal that is? He's equating our oneness. He's talking about the Trinity. And he's putting that on us as the church being one. He's saying, me in them, Christ in me, and then God in Christ is all up in here, all of us together. He's making that connection. That's why it's so important. If we're all to be one, then why is there so much division in church? Somebody help me with that. Because listen, he said that we be united in the what? Love of God. What happens is when I stop operating in the love of God, you get disharmony. And it all starts from what? Getting a sense of his glory. Then I follow his word. And if we're all lining up, guess what? We can be one. I always use this example in marriage counseling. I got this example from my father, and y'all have seen it. So many of you have seen it. And it's the example of the triangle. And at the bottom of the triangle is a man and his wife. At the apex is God. And as the two of them come closer to God, what? They become connected. Man, churches, if you and I, because we all come from different backgrounds, but as all of us come try to get closer to him, and we're following the same playbook, there ought to be unity in the church. See, we ought to be united in the love of God. I told y'all a long time ago, when people who are called to fish don't fish, they what? Fight. When people who are called to fish don't fish, they fight. What do I mean? God has called us as a church to be fishers of men. But when we're not following his plan, what do? We look at each other and we get fighting. It's like sibling rivalry. It's the kids. They fight and they don't even know why. They fussing. Don't touch me. That's how church gets to be. No wonder people aren't running to the church. Because listen, if you're gonna talk, I got people to talk about me on my job. I don't need that in church. I'm coming here for some help. This is supposed to be the place where I can get healing, where somebody can show me how to. If I'm coming into the place where they say, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, and you looking at me because I'm dressed funny, or you looking at me strange because I'm confused about my gender. Hello? Now, let me tell you something. Let me just say this. We got to be united in love. Listen, you don't compromise the word, but what we have to do, do you know there are people among us who are in all different phases in their walk in this life? There are people who struggle with their gender identity. And the church ought to be a place that is so united in love. If I come in here dressed funny, if I come in here walking a little bit different, if I come here confused about my identity, then I don't look at you like you're crazy. Why? Because I'm struggling. Listen, I'm struggling with how to love my wife. Some of us are struggling. Listen, I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with, listen, heterosexual. I'm struggling with just being pure heterosexually. So just join the bunch of us who's struggling. The church is just, we're just supposed to be a place where all of us who's struggling coming to the one who can fix it. He makes all things new. I don't care how you came. The problem is if you leave here the same way as you came. He loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. We ought to be united in love. And when we have that mindset, listen, this is one place that should be a bickering-free zone. I mean, people are people, but the problem is, listen, I'm starting to read through the Bible again, and the problem is sin. It's just sin. Sin, if you look into Genesis, you see when by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And if you're looking through the Bible, you look at Nimrod, you look into the days of Noah, and he said man was just violent. They just wanted to do evil. It's just sin. But this is what happens. That's that sin nature. But when he comes in me, no longer I live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the one who loved me and gave himself for me. It ain't me no more. It's reciprocal. I love that Dr. Kenneth Elmer used to call it reciprocal indwelling. Me in him and him in me. Just think about that. He said, look at the passage. If you can, it said, listen, that all of them be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. There is no disharmony in him. In him, it says, listen, in the verse it says, may they be brought to what? Complete unity. There's complete unity in the Godhead. Therefore, there ought to be complete unity in his house. And people who say, that one who indwells me, if he is in me, the one in which there is complete unity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, there ought to be complete unity in here, united in the love of God. That's his prayer for the church, 2019. What love does, Pastor Mac always said, love does what's in the best interest of the one loved. It does what's in the best interest. Love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, bro, you didn't speak to me this morning. But love covers a multitude of sins. Love said, listen, my brother may have had a hard time. I don't know what's going on in this house. Let me find out, bro, what's going on? Let me not take it personal. Be ready to fight. Because we're united in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's what the Word of God says. That ought to be your prayer for you. That ought to be your prayer for us, that we be united in love. And see, why is the purpose? Why are we to be united in love? If you look at it, and the reason why we ought to be united in love, look at verse 23. It says, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We ought to be united in love so that, listen, we can let the world know that he sent them and that he loves them. What am I saying? When we're not united in love, it gives an unclear picture. The world does not see the love of Christ for them. Man, that ought to be like that. My prayer for us is to be like that church in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. They had everything in common. They had everything in common, man. And when you do that, the world around you is like, whoa, where else are they doing? I've never seen anything like that. And it gives us a platform to proclaim the gospel. What is his prayer for us in 2019? His prayer as a church and as individuals that we sense the glory of God, that we follow the word of God, that we be united in the love of God. But number four, that we go forth on mission, on the mission of God. See, the purpose of us being united is that what? That we might let the world, that let them know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God is calling us. We're on a mission. We're on a mission as a church. We ought to go forth what he's calling us to. Go forth on mission. Go and forth to let the world know that he loves them and that he gave himself for them so that they might have life eternal. Well, I want to put up on the screen what our mission statement, our purpose statement is for a church. And I pray that, I can't remember. Is it on the back of the bulletin? I can't remember. Is it on the back of the bulletin? Yes, it is. Okay. It's on the back of the bulletin. Let's memorize this if you can, in your own time. But why do we exist as the church? Number one, we exist to enlarge God's kingdom. We want to go on mission for God, to enlarge God's kingdom. How do we enlarge God's kingdom? He will build a church. Evangelism. Go ye into all the world and what? Make disciples. We exist to enlarge God's kingdom. Number two, we exist to exalt God's presence, worship, to have a sense of his glory. We exist to enlarge God's kingdom, exalt his presence, and after people come into relationship with God, then to equip God's people and to express God's love as we engage this culture. That's our mission. That's why we exist as a church. To what? To enlarge God's kingdom. Go in. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go out and spread the gospel. We exist to enlarge his kingdom. And then bring up worshipers. Worship, exalt his presence. Equip God's people. And express his love. That's fellowship. That's ministry. Ministering to the needs of other people. As we engage the culture. What does that mean? We got to get outside of the box, y'all. We got to get outside of the box. You know, Sunday church is not for just a Sunday morning time for us to be up in here. I heard one lady call it us four and no more. My husband, my wife, my two children, we're good. We come and get our little stuff and then we go on home. God is calling us to engage the culture. You know, I'm hearing it to me. My dad told me the other day, a good friend of his in a church that we used to have fellowship with long, 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 long time ago. They sold the church, and they had to downsize. All the people were leaving, folks gone. Now they got a little small space. And guess what? Churches are closing their doors every day. That's not his plan. Not his plan. We are here to enlarge his kingdom. And the reason why churches, listen, what I found that a lot of churches are closing their doors is because we want to talk about enlarging God's kingdom and exalting God's presence and equip God's people, but we don't want to engage the culture. See, the problem is if we exalt God's presence in here and I equip y'all in discipleship and teach you the word, you come to Bible study, and we minister into one another, but we don't ever engage the culture. We got a nice little light. We got a nice bubble in here, but nobody around us gets changed. Are y'all hearing me? Got real quiet on there. God is calling us to engage the culture. Yesterday, I praise God for those of you who got a chance to come out to hear the presentation from Widow's Pantry. And Widow's Pantry is started by a sister by the name of Keena Trapp. She's a co-worker, former co-worker of Sister Dee Dee. And God convicted her. She said years ago she had somebody she knew who didn't have anything for Thanksgiving, so she made food for their Thanksgiving, and she was just patting herself on the back, and she drove over to their house to give this Thanksgiving meal, and nobody was there. And she was like, I did all this, Lord, and ain't nobody here. She had a little attitude, so she left the food on the deck and just went on about her business. And she said, the Lord convicted her. How dare you do work for me, expect a pat on the back, and have an attitude like that? And from that, she started this ministry. And what you got to know about this ministry, every second Saturday, they are down at Franklin Square Park. It's second Saturday and what other Saturday? Malcolm X, they go to Marvin Gaye. I told you I'm getting old. Marvin Gaye, Franklin Square, and they have food and clothes. And you go down there and listen. And one of the ladies said yesterday, what we need people on the evangelism team who are prayer warriors, because it's warfare. as we go out and engage the culture, there are people who are going through all kinds of stuff in their life. And God is calling us, listen. And one thing that she said is, listen, and Christmas, Thanksgiving, we always have people to minister and share. And in the spring and the summer, it's packed. But when the wintertime comes, it might be four or five of us, and they still outside hungry. Why? Because we want to engage the culture when it's convenient. It's warm, it's springtime, I can go out with my shorts, but when it's 25 degrees, I'm not going out there. Well, she said, we need this. There's some of us who are out here week after week after week, whether rain, snow, sleet, and that's how you make it a difference in people's life, because those people out there know that these people care. Because they could be at home. They don't have to be out here. God is calling us to enlarge his kingdom, to exalt his presence, equip God's people, express his love. But we do it in the context of engaging the culture, y'all. And I'm staying on this way. I started this point because churches are closing because we no longer engage the culture. We don't speak the culture's language anymore. We're waiting for people to come to the church. Folks ain't coming to church no more. Newsflash, we got to go to the people. They're not just going to come into the church. I know that the gentleman is living, Brother Milton, this house, one of our neighbors, Brother Milton has been trying to get some of our neighbors to come to the church for years, years and years. What we got to do is find out, listen, what do they need? What does the culture need? How can we meet a need for the culture? It blesses me. We talk about engaging the culture. Sister Anika has a school called Living Water School. Y'all know Living Water School. Living Water School is an independent operation. They meet here at the church. And guess what? Living Water School is a Christian school, but 70% of the people aren't Christian. Most of those kids and parents don't know the Lord. And God convicted me. Listen, we want to engage the culture. And guess what? Most of them live right here in this Temple Hills area. I know, my son has friends and teammates whose families don't know God. And he told DJ, listen, I want to go to church with you. I don't know what going to church is like. And they're coming, he came to church. I said, God, this is a way for us to engage the culture. What are some of the needs they need? And I was blessed when they had a Christmas program. Do you know the Christmas program, a school of how many people? 40 people. This church was packed. The church was packed like Sunday morning. For 40 kids, most of the families don't know the Lord. Some of the kids come from all kind of backgrounds. And I said, Lord, how can we engage the culture, meet needs? That's what God is calling us to do. Once we've seen his glory, then we got to follow his word. As we follow his word, then we got to be one, united in love. And we're united in love for the purpose of going forth on mission for God. Question is, are y'all ready to go on mission? Because going on mission is not a clean and tidy thing. It going on mission can be dirty. Verse 17 and 18, it says, sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Church, we've already been sent. The question is, are we going? The question is, we always talk about who got a call to evangelism. There's some of us who have a gift of more or foretelling and out there, being out there, but all of us are called to evangelism. We got to go. Listen, how will they hear without a preacher? And he's sending us to go. The fifth and final thing, what he wants, what is his prayer for the church? Sense his glory, number one. Follow his word, number two. Number three, be united in love. Number four, go forth in the mission of God. Number five, that we experience the joy of God. That we experience the joy of God. John 17, verse 13 says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Listen, he's come so that you might have his joy and that you might have it to the full. He wants you to have an abundant life. What does he want us? He wants us as Christians to experience his joy. And guess how? You see how the order? When you sense his glory, then you're in line and obedience in his word. We're walking together in oneness. We're going forth in mission. Then you will experience the joy of God. See, you know what? I had an acronym a long time ago for joy. I said, just obey Yahweh. That's joy. That's key to joy. Joy has nothing to do with being happy. Joy has nothing to do with, you know, you just being, everything being, oh, everything is great. Everything is wonderful. Joy is, no, listen, it's not about what's happening. It's about him only. I find my joy in him. Even though my circumstances might not be ideal, I still have joy because I got a sense of his glory. I know that these light afflictions are just for a moment. That what he wants you to do is experience his joy. And when you're walking in, and listen, one thing, a key to walking in obedience is a key to experiencing his joy. We talked about that last week. When you know you're out of fellowship with God, you do not, it's hard. You look, you don't even want to come to church. When you know you're walking in disobedience, a lot of times, guess what? You can tell. It's an old song. Y'all know all the old songs are coming to me. It's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. Some of y'all know that? Y'all been in church all your life. It's written all over your face. When it's all over your face. And what God is saying, he wants us to experience joy. There's some folks in here, listen, joy means you don't look like what you've been through. Because I know, listen, yes, it's been rough. I've had a hard time. But guess what? I still have his joy. Because why? I have him. He is in me. Remember the reciprocal indwelling? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that same God was in Christ. And now that in Christ is in me. And I am in him. Therefore, I can have joy. Why? Because listen, be of good cheer. In this world, you all have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. It might not be pretty right now, but guess what? We win. I just finished reading through Revelation. Guess what? In the end, y'all, we win. That's the thing about it. Listen, it might be rough right now, but I'm so glad I already know what's on the other side. I take joy in that. And when you begin to walk in that, guess what? That's his prayer. Before we talk about any programs, any specific ideas and plans, God said, listen, church, get a sense of my glory. Start to worship me. Praise me to the point where my glory falls and you are in awe of my presence. And having become in awe of my presence, be so humble, be so surrendered that you want to follow my word. And if all of you together are following my word, you'll be united in love for the purpose that you will go out on a mission to save souls so that they might experience my joy. That's his plan. That's the master plan. And as we head into 2019, I pray that you make that's Christ's prayer for the church. And let that be our prayer for this church. Let that be your prayer for your personal life. So how can we pray? These are the specifics, but how does he want you to pray? What method? How can we pray as a church? How can we pray for our church in here in 2019? Number one, I'm going to ask for you to pray continually. Pray for the Washington Christian Center continually. Pray for the body of Christ, for individual members of this church continually. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be joyful always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We ought to daily be praying for God's church. We ought to be praying for this church. We ought to be praying for the church at large because the enemy is busy and we are under attack. Pray continually, but also we must pray strategically. Strategically. What do I mean? We don't want to just be haphazard, but we want to pray. Listen, find out what the needs are. And as leaders, as a church, we need to make sure that we make you aware of what the needs are. Pray strategically. Pray on a Sunday morning. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray that God give them wisdom. Pray for the worship leaders and the praise team. Pray for the pastor that God will tell him what to say. Pray for the people who are called to greet somebody at the door, that God will allow them to be able to impact somebody with the love of Christ just with a smile. Pray strategically. Pray continually. Pray strategically. And then finally, pray powerfully. You know, the sister who was over the evangelism team with Widow's Pantry said they need people on the evangelism team. They need prayer warriors, but they need people filled with the Holy Ghost. Reason why is because it's warfare. She said, you go out here on these streets, people are on stuff, and there's spirits all over people. And what you need, we need people who will pray with power. And praying with power, what you need to pray, not just on your, you don't want to just be haphazard, just like my kids sometimes, God, thank you for this day, help me obey my mommy and daddy, da, 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 da. How many of our kids pray like that? How many of us sometimes pray like that? Just mindlessly. But he wants us to begin to pray in power. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be yielded to that. There's nothing spooky about that. Being filled with the Spirit means that he has total control. And see, when I follow the first five things, guess what? Now I'm in right position to pray in power. Because if I'm not sensing his glory, I'm not following his word, I'm not united in love, and I'm not out on mission, and I'm not experiencing his joy, I don't want you laying hands on me. That's not the one I want laying hands on me. But when I'm trying to follow those steps, now we begin to pray fervently with power and passion for God to do these things in our church. And I believe once we follow what the master's plan is, guess what? Man, he will give a harvest of souls. Because we're not the ones that have to build the church. He'll build his own church. We just got to get in line with the master's plan. Amen? Can we stand together? 2019. The master's plan. Sense the glory of God. Follow the word of God. Be united in the love of God. Go forth on the mission of God, and then experience the joy of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This first Sunday in 2019, my prayer is that this church, that this year for this church be like no year ever before. That we be so united, that we be so focused on mission, that this whole community sense it, that it be palpable, that we meet, that we're meeting needs, that lives are changed, souls are being saved. And that will happen if we align ourselves with the master's plan. Before you unite yourself with the master's plan, number one, you got to come to know the master. And I want to give someone an opportunity this morning who's never had a relationship with God, who doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. I want to give you an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. Listen, in John chapter 17, he said, I'm praying, these are the ones that you have given to me. He's praying for his church. But I want you today to become a part of his church. He loves you. First thing you got to know, that God loves you and he's got a plan for your life. He created you and designed you to be in relationship with him. He wants to know you intimately. He wants to know you personally. He wants to provide for your needs. But all of us are born in a state called, we're all born with this thing called sin. Sin simply is rebellion. Sin simply means to disobey what God has said. And all of us are born separated from God because of our sins. None of us is perfect. All it takes is one thing wrong to break the whole law. And that one thing, the Bible says, listen, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Then he says, listen, that all have sinned. All have fallen short of God's glory. You and I, all of us are guilty. And then he says that the wages, the payment for our sin is death. Death means to be forever separated from God for eternity because of our sins. But he says the gift of God is eternal life. He wants to give you eternal life today. And in order for you to receive that life, in order for you to receive eternal life, in order for you to receive the abundant life that he created for you to have, you must admit that you are a sinner separated from God. You must believe that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And you must make a conscious choice to receive him as Savior and Lord of your life and ask him to forgive you of all your sins. If you're here today and you've never made that conscious choice and you want to make it this morning, could you slip up your hand right where you are? We could show you how you can have a personal relationship with God this morning. Is there one who will receive Christ as Lord and Savior of their life today? Is there one who'd like to have all of your sins forgiven? He'll do it today. Is there one? Why don't you raise your hand right where you are? He makes all things new. He'll make you brand new. Is there somebody who'll come to the Savior today? Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. He loves you just like you are. Is there one? Is there one who will come today? Thank you, Lord. Second is this. If you're here and you say, listen, I am a follower of Christ, Pastor Dwayne. Listen, but God convicted me this morning. I got to get tightened up. And I'm ready to follow the master's plan for 2019. God, give me a sense of your glory. Help me to follow your word more closely. Help me to be united with the body of Christ. Not to be a sower of discord, but to be united in love. To be on mission and experience your joy. If that's the prayer for your life, you want us to pray that for you right where you are. Won't you raise your hand where you are? We can pray for you. See that hand. Someone else. See that hand. God, I want to experience your joy in 2019. I see that hand. God, I want to go forth on mission for you in 2019. Somebody else. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for these hands that are raised. I thank you, Lord, for those who may not have raised their hand, God, but you're speaking in their hearts right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, thank you that you make all things new, that 2019 will be different. That, Lord, we will follow your plan. What you prayed for the church, Lord, what you prayed for this church in John 17, God, that will become a reality here for us today in 2019. And we thank you. We thank you that you're patient, Lord, with us. Thank you that you're long-suffering with us. And thank you, Lord, that everything we need for life and godliness is in Christ. And he's in us. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, we pray that that 2019 will be a year of transformation. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.